you're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
At DSC, we believe that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. BigGame.org.
DSC's Kender Outdoors. Hey, welcome back to the camp house. It's sure good to have you here with us. Thank you for spending a little time with us today. Front Door to the Camp House brought to you by Forta Flora, the number one canine probiotic in America. If you own a dog, you really ought to keep Forta Flora handy, because all of our dogs suffer from GI upset from time to time, and Forta Flora fixes that. Learn more when you come see me at kinderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R, like kindergarten, kinderoutdoors.com. What a great time to be an outdoorsman or woman. Golly, do I go turkey hunting today or do I go fishing? I let the wind determine what I'm going to do. If it's too windy to comfortably sit over those Bodark stumps and catch crappie, it's going to blow me around too much, then I'll go sit in the turkey woods and see if I can't yelp up an old gobbler. Serve him up right next to the mashed potatoes. But hey, man, those fried fish are pretty good, too. And the boys at the Coastal Conservation Association in Dallas know all about that. They're going to have a fundraiser fish fry next weekend. Greg Resnansky with the Coastal Conservation Association Dallas, Texas chapter knows all about that. Hey, welcome to the show, Greg. It's always a pleasure to visit with you. How you doing?
Billy, I'm doing great. It sure is good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Normally, you guys at CCA Dallas would be having a banquet. We would, or we guys would all be getting together and having a good time. Because of COVID, that we're kind of running on the delay. That's going to happen this fall. But you guys thought, you know what? Let's have a fish fry this spring and all get together. I think that's a great idea, Greg.
Well, you know, Billy, we're celebrating our 40th year as a chapter, and we decided late last fall to push our banquet back to September once everyone was a little more comfortable with getting together in an indoor event. And so the Zyder Z boys, for the last 15 years, have been auctioning off the fish fry at our banquet. We usually sell two, three, as many as five of these for generally about $3,000 an event. And the Zyder Z boys are all CCA past presidents. They've raised over $100,000 for CCA by hosting these fish fries. And we thought, hey, let's do a Zyder Z fish fry, celebrate our 40th anniversary, and we'll do it in April. So the guys at Tailwaters were kind enough to let us use their backyard there on the levee. And we're just really excited about this event. They're going to cook up some tasty fried fish with all the big hush puppies, french fries, coleslaw, and of course we'll have cold beer and soft drinks. And we're going to have raffles. We're going to have some Yeti gear, some TFO rods, some reels. But come on down, enjoy some tasty fish.
Okay, so this is coming up on Saturday, April 17th. So what time is the get-together? When should we plan on being at Tailwaters Dallas?
We're going to start at 12:30. So 12:30 to 3. We'll be serving food, and I'm sure we'll be straggling along for a couple hours after that. But 12:30 to 3 to get some good food. And we're asking for a $25 donation to CCA to attend the event. And if you want to bring your kids, this is a family event. Kids 15 and under are $10.
Heck of a deal, and it's all money well spent, because CCA values that dollar and puts it to work on a lot of really cool coastal projects. Give us just one good example.
You know, Billy, just this last week, CCA contributed $152,000 to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and they're going to use that money in conjunction with the Sea Center Hatchery in Lake Jackson, Texas. They're going to build a new hatchery to maximize the egg production of the speckled trout, which were the hardest hit of the game fish in the last freeze we had in February.
Wow. Perfect. And timely, too. It's good stuff. It's all coming up on Saturday the 17th at Tailwaters in Dallas. CCA Dallas getting together for a great fish fry. Hey, hats off. Thanks for the good work you guys do at CCA, Greg.
Thank you, Billy. We'll hope to see you there.
Hey, Zyder Z, man. These guys know what they're doing. And the money, like we said, goes to a great cause. Check them out at KinderOutdoors.com. If you'd like to pre-purchase your tickets, you can do that. Yes, you can walk up, but you can pre-purchase if you'd like to, and they'd really appreciate you doing that. You can do that at KinderOutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R. We have a link that'll take you directly to the CCA Texas Dallas Chapter Fish Fry. You know, we weren't able to have an in-person convention and expo at Dallas Safari Club this year. It will happen next January. We've got more info for you at KinderOutdoors.com about that. But typically at Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo, I get together on stage with a lot of my friends like Ron Spomer and Ivan Carter, Craig Boddington, Larry Wysoon, and Jim Shockey. And we have a good time. Today on the show, we're going to revisit that stage from 2018. We have a really good time, and I hope you'll stick around and enjoy it on the show today. Hey, have you heard about calming care? It settles the overactive dog, the overbarker, the overjumper, the guy that tears up the furniture, rips the carpet up from under the door, tries to eat his way through the door. It settles that dog gently over time. It's not a drug. It's a gentle probiotic. A lot of people are really happy with the results. Learn more about calming care when you visit me at KinderOutdoors.com.
Hi, this is Rick Pope with Temple Fork Outfitters. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it and listening to Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Like everyone, the conservation world has been down a rough road lately. The money generated through science-based and properly regulated hunting, both here in the U.S. and abroad, is the key pillar of support for wildlife and wild places. I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at Dallas Safari Club. Poaching, drought, antis that would put a stop to hunting and the shooting sports, right and proper education of the next generations of outdoorsmen and women, these things don't stop because of a pandemic, and at DSC, neither do we. Many hundreds of mission-minded volunteers work without glory or headlines year-round for the DSC mission. That mission is clear-cut. True conservation work worldwide, sharing our beloved and precious heritage with all that will hear and take part, and defeating those that would rip up your Second Amendment and rights to hunt and fish. I invite you to come and join us. It all starts at biggame.org.
Buffalo wool, hats, socks, and gloves will keep you warm and comfortable on even the most uncomfortable days. It's called buffalo wool because the very special fibers used in buffalo wool products are harvested from beneath the big shaggy guard hairs on the bison. These special fibers are how the buffalo manages a Wyoming blizzard or a North Dakota ice storm with no trouble at all. Ron Miskin owns the Buffalo Wool Company and loves the customer feedback.
Well, I was really surprised when I got pictures back. He went and did a 330-mile snowmobile trek up in Alaska, negative 30, Jason Muskox. He said second day he quit wearing his choppers, just wearing our gloves and hat.
The buffalo fiber you make your products from, actually warmer than wool.
Oh, yeah, much warmer than wool, a lot more durable. These are meant to be used and used hard. We warranty them for life. You wear them out, we'll replace them.
The BuffaloWoolCo.com. The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the mantle can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with 6 full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local real shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too. I want to urge you to plan what will be the trip of a lifetime to Argentina. Hunt doves or ducks with my friends at Cordoba Doves. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative, and he's right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Call him at 817-797-9020. Like me, you can plan your next trip of a lifetime with Lane Balky and Cordoba Doves.
We pick you up at the airport, and you're in our care, custody, and control. All meals, all drinks, all eats are included in the package.
Lane is a hunter himself, and when he describes that first morning that you'll witness in the field, it raises the hairs on the back of your neck.
The first morning, the fly-off of the roost in the morning is spectacular. Birds almost as far as you can see, and they fly like that all day until sunset.
Come on, let's go to Argentina. It's closer than you think. Visit CordobaDoves.com or give Lane a call, 817-797-9020.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caceria. Can see me in Argentina.
We believe that a creek full of fish and woods loaded with wildlife are good for our kids. And the kids tend to agree. At Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club, we work hard to preserve both every day.
It's important that we protect our heritage, as others would try to erase history and tear down the solid pillars that help build the greatest and most giving nation this world has ever seen. We at DSC take the opposite approach. We honor and appreciate the heritage and great history of America for all. BigGame.org.
Amen. Hey, I'm Billy Kinder. This is DSC's Kinder Outdoors. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We're going to get back up on that stage at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo from 2018 today and hang out with some of our old buddies, have a little fun, maybe even learn a little something along the way. That's coming up. But first of all, this caught my interest the other day. I got a press release from the folks in Minnesota saying that the fishing opener is on May 15th, and that confused me because I have fished with my buddy Woody Woods in the dead of winter up there through the ice. So when is the closed season? How does this work? To figure this out, I've got to go to Minnesota and talk to my friend Woody Woods up on Rainy Lake right there on the Canadian border, owner and proprietor of Woody's Fairly Reliable Guide Service. How you doing, Woody?
Well, I'm doing great, Big Billy. Good to hear your voice. Made it through another winter.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, anytime that I call you when thaw out begins to occur, you're so happy, like a puppy, to see or talk to someone. You've been there in that long winter, and you're ready to come out of your hiding now.
Yeah, I'm ready to get out of this cocoon here. It's time for some open water fishing. We're kissing that ice goodbye as we speak right now, where the lake is kind of de-icing itself.
Yeah, so you're off the water now. There's no fishing going on in April, right? Not safe.
Actually, you know, we're in a unique situation here, Big Billy, because we're along the Canadian border, the Ontario border, and so our walleye fishing doesn't close until about mid-April while the fish spawn, and then it'll open back up about mid-May, and that's just for walleyes. It seems like, you know, like species like northern and crappie and bass, that really never closes on the border water here, but it does on interior waters. So just south of us, for instance, Lake Captogama, that's closed tight as a drum. You couldn't catch northerns or although you can catch panfish. Panfish are open year round all over Minnesota. And so it's kind of some different rules. And of course, over on the Minnesota Dakota border, that's South Dakota and North Dakota, there's some different rules also. And just as there's some different rules along the Minnesota Wisconsin border. But the interior waters are pretty constant. They close all game species.
And that's what I was calling you about. I got a press release this week saying that the fishing opener, Minnesota fishing opener, is the Saturday 2 weeks prior to the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend this year. That would be Saturday, May 15th will be the opener. And I thought, now, wait a minute, I fished with Woody in February before. It seems like it's open year round, but you better have a book with some instructions in it before you dip your jig, huh?
Really what they're referring to, Billy, the big thing here is the walleye. And the walleye is the Minnesota state fish. And so walleye and the cousin, the sauger, which is the cousin of the walleye, they are the ones that, but the walleye primarily. That's a big deal here in Minnesota, the walleye opener. And that opens at the same day as all over the state. It opens the same day, whether you're on the, yes. So it's a big deal. A lot of times, well, they do have the governor's opener at different lakes around the state, and it's kind of a big deal. So
gotcha.
Whatever lake is hosting the governor's opener is usually kind of a circus atmosphere.
Do they still invite you to that, Woody, or have they learned better than to bring you down there in public like that?
Well, if it's anywhere close, I'll go. But I got to grease the ball bearings in my trailer before I can make any long trips.
I hear you. I do the same thing. I know all about that. Yeah. Hey, when you do thaw out and start fishing open water, guys, there's not a better, more beautiful trip anywhere than to go catch some of those world-famous walleyes that Woody is talking about. And also, the smallmouth fishing is just through the roof up there. I can't wait to get up there and do that with you one of these days.
Well, I can't wait till you get up here. We'll have fun, Big Billy. It's always a good time being with you.
Yeah, we have a good time. How do you like to catch your smallies in the springtime?
Well, they'll hit a Budweiser can, you know. So, I like to throw top water, but, you can throw little plastics and they'll hit just about anything if you get it in the way. Some guys like to they'll toss a top water if they get a swirl, then they'll go back in there with a tube jig or something like that. And most of them smallmouth, they can't say no to that time of the year.
Oh,
and another thing, of course, you can always throw a leech. They can never say no to a leech.
Well, who can?
No. So yeah, it's any number of ways. You throw it in that bed, they're going to jump on it.
Yeah, they're going to be all over that thing. And we got to stop talking now or else I'm going to hang the Gone Fishing sign up and walk away from my job and head for your place. So I better get back to work here. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Woody. Are you online? Can people come see you online?
Yeah, they can check me out at Woody at fairlyreliable.com. I'm not the best at keeping that website thing going, but they can call me at 218-355-0219, 218-355-0219. You can check out some videos on YouTube, too, if you look up Fairly Reliable Woody and YouTube. You might be able to see some videos.
Yeah, there you go. And by the way, he can put you on those giant black crappie, too. Those big, they got, broad shoulders. Those black crappie have broad shoulders.
I just love them.
Nice, big, nice fillets, yeah. Go fish with my buddy Woody. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks, Big Bill. Have a great day.
My buddy Woody Woods, Rainy Lake, Minnesota. He's in the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. Woody's Fairly Reliable Guide Service. He's just waiting for that last iceberg to melt down in Rainy Lake so he can turn the big motor loose on the boat. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. Calming Care, it's not a drug. It very gently, over time, settles the overactive dog, the one that can even be destructive to furniture and carpet. Learn more about Calming Care at kinderoutdoors.com. Hey, I want to wish you good luck if you're headed for the turkey woods today and thought I'd share my favorite recipe with you. It's pretty simple, but it is so delicious. Ray I says this is his favorite way to eat turkey, and that's fried. No, not deep fried like the whole bird in your fish cooker. Fillet the breast meat off of the bone and then cut that meat into strips. inch and a half, 2 inches wide. You'll want to use an egg wash. It'll help build the perfect crust on that fried turkey. Egg wash and then flour, salt, and pepper. If you want, you can do what I do and substitute the flour, salt, and pepper for a product called Kentucky Colonel. It's pre-seasoned flour, and it's really, really good. Now go back to your egg wash again. We're going to double dip and double crust. Back through the flour one more time, and then into the deep fryer or skillet at about 360 degrees. Serve those turkey strips up with good cream gravy and your favorite sides, and your family will beg you to go turkey hunting again. See how that works? Chicken fried turkey breast. I call them the Mount Rushmore of the hunting community. Jim Shockey, Ron Spomer, Larry Wysoon, Craig Boddington, Ivan Carter, they all join me on stage from the 2018 DSC Convention and Expo next.
I'm Craig Boddington. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it at Kinder Outdoors.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side. Pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number 2 hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
Whether you're new to firearms or an experienced, skilled shooter, the knowledgeable, friendly staff at Marksman Firearms and Outfitters is there to help. Marksman Firearms features an extensive selection of firearms, accessories, and specialty items. Military and first responders get a 10% discount, and they offer a 90-day layaway, same as cash. Buy, sell, or trade at any of their Texas stores, Granbury, Killeen, Mansfield, and Wichita Falls. For more info, visit MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman.
These are unsettling and even scary times for many people. But for others, there's peace, even as an angry world cries out. The source of that peace is Jesus Christ. I'm John Watson, pastor at Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas. At Cornerstone, we teach the Bible with no man-made religion added in. Join us online Sunday mornings at 10:15 Central at csbiblechurch.org. It's just God's Word, csbiblechurch.org.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read 2 pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin, and every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
It is the dream of the animal rights fanatics to suppress your most natural connection to the earth, to sell you a life filled with urban fascinations, to ignore that death is life's unwavering partner. Together, creating a relationship between predator and prey that makes it possible for us all to survive. To the hunter, this world's most honest steward, These fantasies are the poisonous, perverted manipulations of social misfits who would take this planet hostage. They should startle you and awaken you to trust the hunter in your blood.
The first time that I gave my taxidermy work to Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas, was way back in 1994. It was a very special little Texas Hill Country whitetail, just a spindly little management buck. But to this day, decades later, still one of the most cherished memories in my home, and it still looks as fresh as it did back then. My son was 10 years old, and this was his very first deer. There have been a lot of years and a lot of memories preserved since that time, and the common denominator in them all is Roy Holdridge and True Life Taxidermy. True Life is trusted by hunters and fishermen from around the world and is called upon to handle the artistry that brings that hunt or fishing trip back to life every time they admire True Life's work in their home, office, or hunt camp. True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Give us your wild game processing order, too. We'll take care of it. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org.
Outdoorsmen and women, hunters, shooters, and fishers are the reason that wild creatures roam bountifully in wild places. This is where we come together to talk about it. Kender Outdoors is partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please help carry on our wonderful heritage and history at biggame.org.
We are flashing back a few years to the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo of 2018. What a huge success it was. What a great win for conservation it was. And what a big time we had on the Zeiss-sponsored stage, conservation stage, at Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo that year.
Welcome to the Zeiss stage at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. Some of you people look like your feet hurt. Got a few more miles to go. Corey, how many miles of aisles are there here? Have we figured that up?
We have not, but we have 800,000 square feet of space.
800,000 square foot of space. So your feet are going to hurt when you cover that much country. And some of us, slackers, don't exercise a whole lot, and it can be hard on us. We have a lot of fun at the Zeiss stage. My name is Billy Kinder. I'm located here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I host an outdoor hunting, fishing, conservation, shooting, youth-oriented outdoor radio show. And they broadcast that all across the country. Got a lot of stations. So wherever you go on your journeys, tune us in. We greatly appreciate that. And we usually have a very distinguished panel up here. This year, we just kind of had to grab whoever we could get. But we've got a pretty good crew. Are you guys fighting already? Man.
Exactly. We're trying to figure out who's going to get pushed off the stage.
Yeah. It's kind of like teaching third grade, man, keeping up with you guys. This guy on this end, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you'll be real kind to him. He's brand new in this industry, just getting started. Pretty nervous about being up here in front of you people. Little Jimmy Shockey, ladies and gentlemen.
Little Jimmy Shockey. Yeah, here's little Larry Weishoon. Yeah.
The next guy, he's only been doing this a couple of years. Mr. Whitetail Larry Weishoon is here today. You've read Ron Spomer in every outdoor publication that's worth its salt. You see him on television, Winchester's World of Whitetails. He's one of the world's greatest, literally, outdoor photographers. A lot of guys say that. Knows what he's doing with a camera. This guy grew up chasing elephants all his life. He is the world's foremost expert on elephant, and he's a really, really knowledgeable guy when it comes to conservation and making good decisions in Africa. Please welcome Ivan Carter back with us. this next guy, I'm going to skip and hold him till last because he won a special award that we want to congratulate him on here in just a minute. But first of all, I want to introduce you guys to Corey Mason. Corey, welcome to the Zeiss stage. Could you guys slip one of those mics over to him over here? Thank you. Corey is the brand new executive director of the Dallas Safari Club. You came in September, right?
I did.
Okay. And so you go to work in September, and day one they say, by the way, we're having a party with 50,000 guests dropping by.
That's right, and don't let one detail fall through the cracks.
You've been a little busy.
Yes, sir. This has been 200%.
Banquets at night, meetings early in the morning and all day long, everybody tugging at you. How are you surviving?
You know, I'm doing well. I mean, it's a go for a long time. This is not something you plan and you execute in a month. This is a year-long thing that we deliver here, trying to bring people together in the name of conservation.
Yeah, and you have, and we've brought a lot of people together in the name of conservation. And your ticket, when you came in today, is more important than you know, and it does not pay for a lake house for this man or any of us. It's very important money. Corey's going to tell us where your dollar goes in just a little while. This next guy, what was that award that he won?
The Wurlitzer Award.
The Wurlitzer Prize.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The Weatherby is one of the most distinguished, if not the most distinguished hunting award given annually to some one person on planet Earth. A lot of people have tried to climb that mountain and fallen short. This man won that award this week. Please, a big round of applause for our friend Craig Boddington. Congratulations, Craig. That is a tremendous award, and you're the first journalist to win this award since, I believe, 1958? 1958. Who won it in 58?
Warren Page, who was actually Jack O'Connor was the second winner in 57, and Warren Page won it in 58, and for whatever reason, nobody in our world has ever won it since, so... I feel kind of privileged.
Yeah, you should. And you, boy, the accomplishments are there. Folks, the Weatherby Award, like I said, is a great honor. And a lot goes into that, Craig. Give us just an example of what they're looking at when they try to choose a winner.
Well, it's a combination of hunting and conservation. On the hunting side, they look at kind of all the continents and all the difficult animals. And, you know, you have to chase... a lot of sheep and the dangerous game and a lot of the deer of the world and a lot of rats and mice and unicorns and three-toed gazorks.
I've got 7 three-toed gazorks. I didn't know it would get me an award, Jim. Did you?
Well, I want to know how big his was. No, mine's bigger.
Right, I know, yeah.
Oh, that's normal.
That's normal. Hey, we're glad you're here with us today. I want to start with Ivan Carter because... there's a college in Africa that I think is very cool. You and I talked about this last year. The South African Wildlife College?
Yes, sir, the Southern African Wildlife College. And what makes that so special is it's a hub where they've got a professional hunting school, but they also have a school where it's a full-blown college. Over the last 20 years, they've trained 14,000 wildlife protection agents from 44 different countries in Africa. So they do an incredible amount of good. They do a lot of ecological research there. And so it's a great spot where the integration of really good sustainable use models, professional hunting models, and all of that can come together. And to be honest, it's a very important spot in Africa because it's one place where there's a lot of conversation between non-hunters and hunters about these sustainable use solutions.
Yeah, and a lot has been done. Dallas Safari Club money is very important in Africa and the various projects that are going on there. The fight against poaching, you can look up in the air in parts of Africa any given day and see the Dallas Safari Club logo flying overhead. They're looking for poachers.
Yes, sir, and it's not just on the helicopters in Mozambique, but there's also aircraft in South Africa across Kruger National Park that are all funded by people like you guys by virtue of the fact that you paid to get in here, support Dallas Safari Club in many other ways. A lot of that money really does end up on the front line of these very important initiatives. So.
Yeah, and nothing more important than this question, Ivan. Anytime I see you on television all of these years, you're wearing a pair of Daisy Dukes, little bitty short shorts. Almost obscene. Is that like if we go on safari, is that a requirement? Because if so,
Absolutely, but it's the stuffing of those shorts that's actually the most important.
Oh, hey, family show. We don't want to know what you saw.
In Texas, we wear long britches.
Well, that's right. Long britches. Why do you guys, because I look at that country you hunt, it looks a lot like West Texas, Jim. It's tough. It's rough, Larry. And you're walking around there in shorts. Are y'all proud of your legs or what?
It's just
quiet.
The rough country doesn't bother us like it bothers you all. So.
Oh, y'all tougher than us, huh? We're going to finish that fight before the weekend's over, I promise you.
Man, we have a great time on that stage at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo every year. And I hope that you'll make plans to join us at Convention and Expo next January and carve out a little time to spend with us on the stage. Like we said, it's a lot of ground to cover, and your feet might appreciate an hour or so sitting down in front of the stage right there at the food court. Have some lunch and hang out with us a little while. We'd love to see you. Hey, we'll save you a seat January 6th through the 9th, 2022, Dallas, Texas.
Hey, everybody. It's Dominic Zamito with Two Rivers Fly Shop in North Fork, Arkansas. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, are you sinking? It looks like you've got a heck of a hole in your waders there.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Toxie Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on, theharvestmovie.com. You might hunt the South Pasture, or maybe the Double Tanks. You've watched that big 10 point for 4 years now. Maybe he'll show up. Or maybe it's a doe you'll hang in the cooler tonight. We're almost out of sausage links and taco meat. Maybe a pig will come by today. Among all the maybes, there is an absolute. Take your wild game to Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. The Masacchio family and their decades of family recipes will have your guests at a whitetail dinner complimenting you on the beef.
Because the way we season them, and then we cry vac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit. And then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular filet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and We like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife. Quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups. And we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
In Genesis chapter 9, God himself told man that if it flies, moves on the earth, or swims in the water, it is meat for us. What a gracious God we have. We celebrate that in this old camp house. Kinder Outdoors partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
From the quiet solace of winter ice and rainy lake Minnesota, to the howling winds of the western peaks, the bass-laden Kissimmee chain, and New Zealand's bountiful trout streams, we fight for all wildlife and wild places at DSC. BigGame.org.
That is Corey Mason, Executive Director at DSC, and he is doing a lot of really good things. He is working with the other very solid folks at Dallas Safari Club to further conservation, the education of our future generations, and the protection of your hunting, fishing, and shooting rights, even if you're not a Dallas Safari Club member. Pretty cool. Let's get back up on that DSC stage at the 2018 Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo.
Craig Boddington, you got a brand new book at this show making its debut. What did you write about this time?
Oh, this is my fourth 10-year Africa book. Africa is an addiction. It's a little like starting heroin when you're young, hard to get off of it. I started hunting Africa 40 years ago, and so
Craig,
this is my
Craig,
fourth 10-year
hang
Africa
on,
book.
Hang on. So far, we're stuffing our shorts and doing heroin.
That's right.
Could you guys tone it down just a hair, okay? Kidding. Go ahead, Craig.
No, this is my fourth 10-year Africa book, and I won't guarantee there'll be another one, but this one was a lot of fun. Covers a lot of places I'd never been before, and, I tell you what, once you start going to Africa, you'll want to go back the rest of your life, and I know most of you know that.
Absolutely. Well, where can we find you? You've got a booth here, right?
Yeah, I'm in booth 2012.
Okay. Drop by and see Craig. Doing a seminar a little later. He's going to have to leave us a little early, but back in the booth later this afternoon signing copies of that book. This guy grew up in South Dakota chasing pheasants early on in his life. His name is Ron Spomer. I'm sure you guys have read Ron in one or many more publications. Ron, when I come hunt pheasants in South Dakota, you're an Idaho resident now, by the way, but when I hunt pheasants in South Dakota, I'm an early riser. They won't let me start until 10 a.m., noon the first 2 weeks. What's that all about? Are they all lazy in South Dakota?
You're lucky they let you in the
state
at all.
Well, I know that. Yeah, I know.
No, South Dakota has an old tradition. Back in the old days, there were so many pheasants, and all the farmers were still living on the land and milking their cattle and doing chores in the morning, so they didn't want a bunch of hunters from town coming out and bugging them. So there was plenty of time from noon until sunset to get your pheasants. Once that tradition was locked in, it's pretty hard to get rid of. So they did, when they had the low pheasant population numbers in the 70s, they allowed them to go to a 10 o'clock opening after the first 2 weeks. So it's merely a tradition. Once again, though, South Dakota has so many pheasants that you can probably start at noon, or I often start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I get my limit. Because all that CRP grass that came in started about 1985, I believe. And it's really made a difference. South Dakota's pheasant population went from about 20 million down to less than a million, and now it's back up again to 12 million. It fluctuates with the weather, of course. But the fact that we finally figured out is habitat that makes the difference, and we put 2 million acres of grass back on the land, really made the difference. So now pheasants, whitetails, prairie chickens, sharptails, all the wildlife pretty much benefits from that kind of habitat. And it is really fun, once again, to hunt pheasants in South Dakota.
Oh, I know all about it. I go every fall, yeah. Kurt is here today. I haven't hunted with Kurt yet. One of these days I will. He has a lodge in South Dakota. And you know about that habitat because you're pheasant numbers this past year across the state, not really good. You guys got hit hard by drought. You had good numbers at your place. You take care of your habitat, right?
Yes, we did. We actually, from June and July, we had no rain at all. And what we did a few years back, we put in some deep water wells, and we hauled and pumped over 7 million gallons of water. And that's what's actually saved our bird population. It was very well. And all our ground is set up for habitat, so it does make a difference.
Yeah, it does. Name of your lodge is?
Grand Slam Pheasant Hunts.
Grand Slam, there you go, up in South Dakota.
Where's it located? Kimball area. Yeah, I grew up about 40 miles from there, down a trip.
That's why.
We're neighbors.
That's why your pheasant numbers were hurting early on. Because the Slayer had been in there.
I tried.
Hey, Jim, congratulations. When you were here last year, we didn't know if you were going to make it through the weekend with us because Eva was going to have a baby. And she waited until like 4 days after this event. Now you come back this year, you've got two grandbabies.
Yeah, two. Actually, Louise, my wife, is of 33 years right here. She Louise dumped me after the first day last year and went out to be with Eva. And then the baby waited for another week. But, yeah, Lenny Bo was born last year, I think on the 12th or so of January. And then our son and his wife, who married a young lady from Kansas City, they had a baby boy, about 2 months later. His name is Flynn Jett. So nice. Lenny Bo and Flynn Jett were double grandparents now.
How about that? Is that just so much fun?
You know, they're a little young yet to take them hunting. You know, they can barely hold their head up. But I have taken them fishing already.
All right, so. Yeah. How'd they do?
Not too bad.
Yeah, just kind of bobbing around.
We had difficulty with the casting. No, this is how you do it.
Hey.
So, but don't worry, I'm working on them. They'll be hunters and fishermen.
I've got a question. Any of y'all here yesterday? Did y'all recall him saying that he didn't fish?
Yeah.
So what were you doing, Mr. Shockey?
I didn't say I didn't fish. I said I'm the only one in this whole place that hasn't caught a bass before or shot a turkey, actually.
Fish.
No, I didn't say that.
I'll tell you this. 2 years ago, I said, one of you guys tell me a fishing story, Ron, and he poo-pooed that and said, we're mighty hunters. You know, I don't fish. Now he goes out, gets a couple of grandkids, loses his mind. He's bought a boat.
Yeah, it's actually the mighty Thunderjet, 250 horsepower Suzuki. Oh, yeah. So I've done a lot more, fishing, but not actually with a rod and reel, prawning and crabbing over the last few months, more than hunting, actually.
Are you Captain Jim now?
Well, it depends if Louise's around.
Yeah, okay.
I'm like Gilligan at that point.
Yeah, I understand. Hey, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon, tell me about your deer season. Where'd you go this year? I know you've hunted every mountain in the world twice. White-tailed deer, near and dear to your heart. Where'd you go? What'd you do?
You know, white-tailed deer is such a special animal for so many of us in a lot of different ways. I know everybody here, with the exception maybe of Ivan, who if you'd ask, you know, what's the one animal that you'd really like to continue hunting all your life, it's probably the white-tailed deer because they're so different. This year was an interesting year. We had a lot of mature deer for the first time. 5 years got a good fawn survival rate. 6 years, good fawn survival rate. And this year they had a lot of food, so I know a lot of the deer hunters out there probably experienced much of what we did. They like to move at night. There was very little movement of those deer during the middle part of the day, and for a lot of us it was a really tough hunting season. And since most of the game wardens frowned very heavily upon great lights, you know, that you need to film at night and that kind of thing, we didn't do a whole lot of good this year. So in terms of getting white-tailed deer, but I hunted probably the deer that I hunted that I loved the most. Was a buck that's probably about that wide that I hunted on my own place. I lived down in Colorado County, where I grew up on my place, and down there we have an antler restriction. We have 4 points on one side, 13-inch inside spread. And I had two bucks that I hunted and hunted and hunted and hunted and hunted.
And finally,
did not shoot him. He's going to be a much bigger buck this coming year.
Yeah, there you go. Corey, you grew up in West Texas. You do have a background not only as a hunter, but as a biologist. Tell me about your hunting career.
So I've been very privileged to hunt. I had a father that hunted, took me all over the world, and so very privileged for that. Grandfathers as well, strong hunting culture, really affirmed in me the desire to pursue that as a profession. Did go to college for that, worked 16 years for the State Conservation Agency here, Texas Parks and Wildlife. Worked in various positions there, working on the ground as a management area biologist, ran portions of our migratory game bird program. In the last 5 years, we served as a director there. hunting aspirations. And really, you know, I grew up in the western part of the state. You know, really, I think one of the things that I love to hunt the most, probably because I got to do it with my father growing up as much, was chasing mule deer out in the west. I love that. I served as a registered game guide in New Mexico, chasing really big elk out west. That was a great time in my life as well. You know, right now my time is about four rows back with my daughter there in the little blue coat. And if I get to go outside, it's trying to figure out a way to get her outdoors.
The fish came from our waters, the meat from our fields, the heritage and history from our hearts. Glad you're in camp with us at Kender Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
At DSC, we work tirelessly for hunters, anglers, sports shooters, campers, hikers, and nature lovers at home and around the globe every day. Join the wild movement at biggame.org.
You know, with so many Pro Plan formulas, there is a Pro Plan perfect for your dog. Purina Pro Plan, no matter the age, the lifestyle, or health conditions. They've already thought it all out, and those Pro Plan formulas are at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Here we go, back on stage at the 2018 Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo with the Mount Rushmore of the hunting community.
Craig Boddington, a native of Kansas, just like Spomer, you grew up chasing quail and pheasants. A lot more quail back then, right? You had pretty good...
Well, we didn't have any white-tailed deer when I grew up. We didn't have a modern deer season until, I was a teenager. And so, you know, the chance to... Kansas has become a pretty good deer state.
Are you kidding?
But it wasn't when I was a kid. We didn't even have a season, so... To me, I mean, to be able to hunt deer in Kansas is exciting, and I've got a little farm down in the southeast corner of the state, and we had a fantastic deer season. And, you know, Larry, I can't explain it because we had that horrible supermoon, and, you know, I just thought, man, this is going to be really tough, and yet we just had bucks coming out of the woodwork. My hunters took, we had a good season, but we took three particular older bucks that almost didn't have any teeth, and I'd never seen any one of those deer. I don't know where they came from.
Wow. Isn't that something?
They're all the time.
They're all the time. You just don't know it. Don't know it. Hey, Ivan, you know, we study about how to sit and look at a white-tailed deer and age him properly and, you know how to look at him. Do you guys look at buffalo that way? Do you look at leopard that way, elephant that way? How do you judge an elephant's age? What tells you that he's X number of years in prime?
You know, each animal's got a very different thing that you look for. And with elephants, you're looking for that big, blocky head. We call them potato heads. It really looks like their head is oversized. You look at the elephants are one of the few animals in the world that continue to grow throughout their lives. So, you know, even as they get older, their bodies get bigger and bigger, but they don't really get taller. They just get thicker. And so you'll see their heads grow. You know, the base of their trunk will get absolutely enormous with these very deep wrinkles. And then, you know, you can see it right away. If you say, well, I don't know if I'd be able to tell. If we showed you a really big elephant or a really old elephant, you'd be able to tell.
Yeah, okay, very good. You know,
Ivan, sorry, I missed that part. What was that you were saying? How do you describe a big, ugly old elephant again?
They get this big white beard. They kind of get, you know.
They wear.
I thought you were describing our friend Marty Malin the whole time I was listening.
Typically, the really old ones wear big hats.
Ivan, you've just been part of a very interesting giraffe project. You guys have been transplanting giraffes. That can't be easy, dude.
No, it's really difficult, actually. And obviously, with the help of Dallas Safari Club Foundation, we actually just conducted the largest move of Rothschild's giraffe that's ever happened. You know, giraffes have gone extinct in seven different African countries, which is something that a lot of people don't know. And so what we did is south of the Murchison Falls National Park, across the River Nile, a rebel group had wiped out all the giraffe about 20 years ago. And so we reestablished that population this last year. And, it was really, really good to stand there and see Hunter's dollars really, truly at work in a very important conservation initiative. So, yeah, it was an interesting thing.
Yeah. Were you physically involved in moving these giraffes?
Absolutely, as were the donor group that were part of it. And, it's an interesting deal. You give them an overdose of drugs, they go down, and then you've got to literally resuscitate them. And then holding onto ropes with a lot of people, try and get them up into a trailer. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's a rodeo.
Yeah, and when they wake up, they're not happy, right?
No.
Yeah. Did they ever get on top of you, hurt you at all?
Well, there were a lot of people that were kicked and dragged around a bunch. I'll tell you that much. I mean, a big bull giraffe's 18 feet at the top of its head. So, you know, you got all these little people running around like ants at their feet, and they're not happy to have you there. So, yeah, it gets pretty interesting.
Yeah, I guess it does. Corey Mason, I bought a $20 ticket at the door today to attend the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. Where's my money going?
Yeah, so I appreciate that. So I'm going to reflect back real quick. One of the things that Ivan mentioned was the Southern Africa Wildlife College. I think it's a great example of some of the things that Dallas Safari Club does. It funds those kinds of programs in the sense of actually funding the programs, the anti-poaching units, equipping, training, etc. Domestically, we look towards projects as local as restoration projects here, needed research projects to fulfill information gaps regarding good and wise and sound management of resources, particular species, many game species that potentially very favorably affect non-game species as well. So most essentially, it goes to conservation, education, and protecting hunters' rights.
Awesome. And that's the mission statement of the Dallas Safari Club, you bet. Craig Boddington, I started to get into this earlier, and you mentioned you had a good deer season. You went back to Kansas after more than 30 years in the Marine Corps, ladies and gentlemen. You bet. God bless you and thank you. Went back and bought a farm, and this year you had your best deer season ever. That's got to be fun on your own property.
Oh, my gosh, what a feeling, and especially, you know, from coming from nothing. When I was a kid at Boy Scout camp and we even saw a deer track, we'd talk about it for days and days and days.
Good morning. This is General Leroy Sisco, and I'm honored to be here today. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it. With Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Like everyone, the conservation world has been down a rough road lately. The money generated through science-based and properly regulated hunting, both here in the U.S. and abroad, is the key pillar of support for wildlife and wild places. I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at Dallas Safari Club. Poaching, drought, and ties that would put a stop to hunting and the shooting sports, right and proper education of the next generations of outdoorsmen and women, these things don't stop because of a pandemic, and at DSC, neither do we. Many hundreds of mission-minded volunteers work without glory or headlines year-round for the DSC mission. That mission is clear-cut. True conservation work worldwide, sharing our beloved and precious heritage with all that will hear and take part, and defeating those that would rip up your Second Amendment and rights to hunt and fish. I invite you to come and join us. It all starts at biggame.org.
Hey, I want to let you know about something that's brand new and coming to South Dakota this fall, the Dead Rabbit Lodge. You see, the owner received his higher learning from the University of South Dakota, the Coyotes. The dreaded enemy of the University of South Dakota Coyotes is the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits. Therefore, the name, the Dead Rabbit. The Dead Rabbit Lodge sits on the eastern bluffs of Big Blue Lake Owyhee. The view from your giant Western Canada Red Cedar Lodging stretches from the dam to the south almost all the way up to North Dakota. The Big Lodge is finest splendor from top to bottom. Perfect for big family or corporate groups. But the Dead Rabbit will also feature separate hotel-style rooms, a great game room and bar for entertaining, guest-only dining featuring the Rabbit's award-winning chef, oh, and about 40,000 acres of the finest pheasant hunting in the world. You won't forget the Dead Rabbit. If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled. But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
Hunters and fishermen gather here every week. Boy, we need another freezer. This camp house is Kinder Outdoors, brought to you by the Dallas Safari Club.
At DSC, we welcome the millions of new gun owners across America, and we welcome you to join us in defense of your precious right to protect your family and property. Join us at BigGame.org.
The 2022 in-person Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo will be in downtown Dallas at the Convention Center, January 6th through the 9th. Make plans to join us. And hey, spend a little time with us on that main stage with all of our friends like Jim Shockey.
All you had to do was turn the camera on.
Turn them on.
Yeah,
and after that, they're like a little ribbit frog. You couldn't get them to dance. But camera on, they were all over the place.
I'm going to ask you to share, if you're not comfortable with it, don't. You shared yesterday a little story about your dad's last ambulance ride to the hospital, and I think this really tells us a lot about your pop.
Yeah, it was, by that time he was, well, I'll give you another insight to him. He came to me not long before he passed away, and he was still walking, and he said, you know, being famous affects some people, but it hasn't changed me a bit. And I said, Dad, that just by you saying that means you've been changed. On the way to the hospital, it was October. I was heading out there for the November hunt, and he tried to make the ambulance stop at the sporting goods store to pick up his hunting license, because he didn't have his hunting license yet, knew I was coming out, and he didn't want to disappoint me and disappoint all his millions of fans. So he was trying to get the ambulance to stop at the sporting goods store on the way to the hospital. And never left the hospital, unfortunately.
Yeah, wow, what a story. What a guy. That tells us all about him, everything you need to know there. The eternal optimist.
Yeah, he was truly a hunter, truly a meat hunter.
Yeah.
He was awesome. We all miss him.
Well, we miss him. We've grown up, we watched your family, your kids grow up. We know your family, and we know that we know them intimately because they ain't acting. It's all real stuff. Real stuff. Ron Spalmer, what made you move to Idaho? What do you like about Idaho?
Women made me move to Idaho.
That's what
they're
I thought
better looking
was.
Women in Idaho than there were in South Dakota.
Gotcha, okay.
Or at least there were a couple of them that would pay any attention to me there.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. Is that inspirational in your writing? Is that just convenient to where you need to be? Do you like
it? Yeah, that's a good question, because South Dakota is an incredible state for hunters and fishermen. Anyone who's ever been to South Dakota, it's just got an incredible variety of upland game birds and big game animals. But when I was working there at Fish and Game, I wanted to hunt elk and moose and sheep and all that big stuff we didn't have much of. So I thought, I've got to get myself out west. And an opportunity popped up to move to Idaho, and I thought, that's pretty far west. They've got some mountains, and they've got sheep and goats and lions and grizzly bears and black bears and moose and you name it. It's almost as good as living up in British Columbia, except for they let us hunt bears in Idaho.
Yeah, we lost that fight. That was a bad deal.
Yeah, that was a bad deal. So I've been there for quite a while now.
Jim, let's go back there now to your bears. What happened up there just recently in British Columbia? The government decided Jim Shockey can't shoot bears. What's the deal? Grizzlies.
Inside story or
we want the truth.
Well, the truth is I know it. So there's a caveat. Grizzly bear hunting was banned entirely in British Columbia, except if you're a native. So depending on the color of your skin, you're allowed to hunt or not hunt. And that's probably not politically correct to say that, but that's what they actually did. We had an election, a provincial election. So our farthest right wing isn't really that far right. They're kind of center. They would be the conservatives up in Canada, Republicans down here. Left wing, you guys have the Democrats. If you go a lot further, we have liberals. You go a lot further than that, you have something called the New Democrats, and they're so far to the left, they're almost underneath us. A little further left than that, you have the Green Party. The two major parties tied, that NDP and the Liberals tied, more or less. So the Green Party had two or three elected members. They went to this far left party, because they're even further left, and made a deal. They said, okay, we'll support you, so now you have a majority. We'll basically join you. You've got a majority. We can pass anything we want. And what we want is you guys to stop this dam, a major construction project. And now, this is where I'm making this story up, in case there's anybody here going to take this back up to BC. But this is more or less what happened. We want to stop that dam, the construction, and you stop grizzly bear hunting. They did their deal behind back the closed doors. The dam went ahead. Grizzly bear hunting got stopped. And those guys are what... They're in power. They're pulling the puppet strings right now, and there's no science to it. It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. It's a horrid misuse of democracy. But on the other hand, we let them get voted in, and that's what we all have to remember. One vote can make a difference. And if we sit back and I'll just live with whatever happens and don't vote, you end up with this happening, and don't bitch about it. You know, next election, we can get rid of these guys. So.
Yep, absolutely. Why don't you run for office up there?
Too many skeletons in my closet.
Okay, we don't want the press. We don't want the bad press coming out. That's a horrible story. I couldn't believe it when I read it. Has anyone put a dollar on the financial loss to outfitters, guides, folks coming in, visitors? That's got to be huge.
I mean, it's in the hundreds of millions. Now, that's not just from the grizzly bear. That's what we bring in. This one, I'm not sure, $15 million, I think they said. And then the multiplier effect is seven times that. So it's, you know, and where does it hurt? These guys in downtown Vancouver, downtown Victoria and British Columbia? No. No, it hurts all the people up in, you know, Dees Lake.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care about it. It's a tyranny by the majority down in the urban centers. That's what our democracy's turned into in British Columbia.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Man, that's tough. That's really tough. We need to know who we're voting for and then vote rightly, for sure. Ivan, poaching is a problem all over the globe. If you want to take a look and see the real effect right in front of your face of poaching and how it is so detrimental, Africa's a great example. Can you give us just an example of how horrid the poaching situation has been, what it's like?
So probably the most poignant example is the Congo Basin. You know the Congo River, one of the longest rivers in Africa. Out of the Congo Basin last year, WWF did a survey. They believe 1 million tons of bushmeat came out of the Congo Basin. So that's 300 miles of semis, nose to tail, full of illegally poached meat. And, you know, one of the problems with it is, how do you solve that? Because every mouthful of that would be eaten. You can't just say, no, you can't eat this kind of meat. You can't poach. You have to offer a solution. And so one of the things we spend a lot of time doing is trying to find sustainable solutions that embrace the community. So the community becomes your custodian, and they've got to benefit in some way. Because I'll tell you this. In the Depression, there weren't too many white-tailed deer running around in the neighborhoods because people ate them all. And that's no different to what's going on in Africa. And so there's two things happening. This explosive population growth that it's very politically incorrect to talk about and tell people they should have less kids. But those are all mouths that are going to have to be fed. In one of our areas in Mozambique, the average number of kids in a family is 12 or 14. And the average age someone having their first kid is 14 years old. So, you know, you've got a school there with a creche for the 14-year-olds who bring their kids to school. And so no one's talking about that. No one's educating around that. And, you know, you can do what you like. If the population continues to grow at that pace, the animals will all get eaten.
Yeah, it's amazing where people hunt and aggressively pursue to kill animals. Animals flourish. Not so much when you take the hunting away. It all goes the other direction. Some people you can't convince of that.
You know, and I think what it is, it's not really the hunting that's bringing the animals back, but what we've got to really make the world understand, it's the dollars that are getting used to protect those animals. You know, Zambezi Delta Safaris, we estimate we gave 60 tons of meat into the local communities this year, but anybody from any community that poached meant that that cost their community their free meat drop. And 60 tons of meat in a community of 1,200 people, that's a lot of meat. That's several pounds per person. I'm not very good at math. I'm a bit like Jim Shockey. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's got a big negative effect. If you show up at a village with a truckload of meat and you say, we're not going to give this to you this week because old Joe last week was caught poaching, that's got a big effect, and they start to become custodians of their own resource.
Hi, this is Bobby Labonte, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Now, more than maybe ever, we could all use a little getaway, and the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas is the perfect spot. We are open for business and with well-thought-out precautions to help keep our guests safe. Bring the RV and enjoy our full-service hookups complete with cable TV, ramped-up Wi-Fi, and space to spread around while enjoying a great view of Grapevine Lake. We can comfortably accommodate any size RV or motorhome with plenty of pull-through sites. The Vineyards also features spacious lakefront cabins, fully equipped with all that you and your family will need to enjoy comfort camping. Our campground store is well-stocked with everything from groceries and ice to firewood and fishing supplies. Don't forget to bring the boat! The Vineyards Campground and Cabins features a private boat ramp with plenty of parking, a private beach, kayak, bicycle and paddleboard rentals, and even a full-service laundry on-site. Come to the Vineyards! We're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth, but you'll feel millions of miles away. VineyardsCampground.com.
Way out in West Texas on Highway 287, about 40 miles east of Amarillo, is one of the coolest roadside stops that you'll find. Right there on the south side of the highway sits the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Buffalo Gold features wonderful Western art, one-of-a-kind jewelry, and all things buffalo. Belts, boots, and bison leather products of all kinds. Our buffalo wool socks, gloves, hats, beanies, and more will keep you warm like never before during the coldest winters. And that road trip will feel better, too, with a soft and cozy buffalo down knit throw or lap robe. Unique and beautiful Damascus steel kitchen knives, vintage Navajo sterling and turquoise jewelry, a huge selection of bison moccasins, shoes and boots for hunting, working, or just looking great. Stop in and see us at the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Yes, we do have our own herd, 40 miles east of Amarillo near Goodnight, Texas. BuffaloGold.net.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line five times around each side, pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds, when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number two hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Casseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Casseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Casseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Casseria. Can see me in Argentina.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged in the battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore. Men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
You don't have to have four-wheel drive to get to this camp house. The helicopter will do the trick. This is Kinder Outdoors, driven by the Dallas Safari Club.
More and more Americans want to know how to harvest wild game and fish for the family table. DSC is a tremendous starting spot for that wonderful journey. Come see us at biggame.org.
To me, this is the very best news to come out of COVID-19, and we're seeing this in state after state after state after state. A record number of fishing and hunting licenses being sold across the U.S. Hey, that just simply means that more of us are getting out on the water and into the woods. People are flooding to the outdoors. If you'd like to visit your state fish and game website, don't know where it is, where to start, it's real easy. Come see me, kinderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R, and we've got a little tab you can click on. They're in alphabetical order. Every state in the U.S. and a direct link to their hunting, fishing, and conservation offices.
Larry Weissen, I love to hear you tell about the first white-tailed deer that the great Mr. Whitetail ever shot. You mind telling that again?
I'd love to. I grew up in Colorado County, south of here, and very few deer. Didn't have any gun to shoot other than my granddad's single-shot shotgun. And we used to hunt. I hate tree stands, but I was hunting in an oak tree about as tall as that light is right up there. Opening morning of deer season, I'm sitting up there, and I'm as excited as I can be, and I know I've got a single-shot shotgun, and I may have to have a second shot. So I got a double-rock truck right there. I'm, you know, I hear him sitting here, and I hear something over here, and I thought, oh, squirrel. Here comes a deer. Oh, my God, it's the biggest. It's a world record. He's coming. Oh, he's right. Put the gun up. The old single shot was one of those that just had a little bead and a little notch in the back kind of thing belonging to my granddad. I'm all excited. This is the world record. It's the biggest deer there is in the world. And he's right there. And I'm finally going to get a shot at it. I've been hunting for years trying to get a shot at a deer. Cock, get a hammer, and take a deep breath, pull the trigger. And as soon as that trigger goes off, that deer goes down. And I go, oh, my God, thank you, Lord. I have shot the world record deer. And I look back down, and, oh, my God, my world record deer is running off. He's running up, getting away, and I go, oh, my, I got a shot right here. I break it old shotgun open. Now, if you've ever dealt with some of the old type shotguns, you know what happens if you tug on the fore end a little bit too much? It disengages the barrel. I'd jerk that shotgun open, pull that fore end off in my excitement, and I watch that barrel go stick in the ground. And for a few seconds, I seriously thought about jumping out of the tree so that I could go get that thing. And finally, kind of reason, kind of came back to me. I kind of shinnied, fell halfway down that tree, ran down there and grabbed that barrel and blew that mud out, put that double up buck in there, and I'm walking like this. I'm looking way out there, and I fall right over this world record whitetail deer. And I go, oh, God, thank you, Lord. And I turned around, and that world record whitetail deer that had a 48-inch spread, 76-inch tines, 30-inch main beams, 8-inch turned into a spike that's got about 4 inches on one side and 5 inches on the other side.
Ground shrinkage.
Ground shrinkage.
Yeah. Get a copy of Game Trails. I've got my copy right here. It's got a couple of zebra on the front, and it's the Dallas Safari Club Convention 2018 edition. They've got them over there. Larry details his leopard hunt. I was talking to him on the phone a few months back. I said, Larry, what have you been doing? He was so excited, like a kid, had taken his first leopard. I assumed that had happened years ago, but no. And he wrote it, it's in Game Trails. Give us the short Cliff's Notes.
Short version is I'm a right-hand shooter, but also shoot left-hand. I had my eyes operated on not too long ago with cataract surgery. Get on the plane in San Antonio, and I can't see real well out of my right eye. Get off the plane in Johannesburg. I can't see at all out of my right eye. I'm going on a leopard hunt. Leopard hunts are tough, right? They can be extremely exciting. Long story short, thank God I taught myself how to shoot left-handed when I was a kid because I couldn't come far enough around the right to shoot a deer on the right. After days of sitting in the blind, staying all night, you can't shoot leopards after dark. But we were going in these situations to where we were staying all night because we didn't want to come out to scare the leopard or get in early in the morning to scare the leopard. So day after day after day after day of no sleep, finally get to another place that had two permit opportunities in this one particular area right there, and we're sitting there with the landowner, and we've been there for a long time, and it's about almost 9:30, 10:30, 11 o'clock, whatever it was, going on toward the middle part of the day, and finally said, that's it. Well, I'm looking through a little hole that's about this wide and about this tall, watching the water hole over here and where there's bait over here, and the landowner sitting right over here. Just as we say, that's it, let's go, landowner goes, leopard. And he points this way, and I had just enough time to stand up and shoot left-handed at this leopard that was there. Had I been set up for right-handed, I would have never been able to swing far enough around, nor could have gotten the rifle far enough around. So was able to take the leopard. Turned out to be a pretty nice little kitty cat. But the truth of the matter is, learn how to shoot left and right-handed, because you could go partially blind or something in one eye for a period of time. Got back home, called the surgeon. He said, come on out. It's no big deal. He says, I'll take a laser. And every time he hit that laser, it's like somebody taking a cleaning off part of a window pane that's all smeared up where you can't see. And I can see again.
I'll be darned. Congratulations on your leopard. It's a great hunt. The story's documented in there. And there's a lot more to it. 12 days he was in the blind, 18 hours per day. 18 hours per day. You'd show up, what, about 10 o'clock in the morning, and then you're there through the night? Or
we show up probably about 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
okay,
and then spend all night, hunt until about 10 o'clock in the morning, and then go back, take a shower, get a bite to eat, and go right back again.
I've guided Larry personally up in my bear territory, and whoever you are that outfitted him, that sat in a blind with him for 18 hours a day, God bless you, and I feel so sorry for you. That had to be purgatory for the outfitter.
It was.
Hey, I'm curious, all of you guys, how much wild game do you eat in your home? What percentage? A great deal?
90.
Ron?
Probably 90%. Every once in a while, my wife will sneak a pork chop in, but
yeah,
pretty much it's elk, deer, moose, cougar, whatever we've got. Lots of birds.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, same at my house. I put a 90% number on that. The critters in the freezer at your house, Ivan, I'm sure are a little bit different.
They have been a bit different over time, and I guess whatever's there
That's what goes down the hatch. So.
What is in your freezer? Talk to us about this a little bit. What's in your freezer?
We live in the Bahamas right now, so there's a lot of fish. We fish a lot. There's a lot of snapper in there. There's a lot of mahi-mahi or dolphin. I mean, there's a lot that's in there, and we love that fish real fresh right out of the ocean. There can be nothing better than a tuna fish that's never been frozen or a wahoo, and so we eat a lot of that. No wild game in the Bahamas, but we make up for that when we get over to Africa to the camp, sir.
Yeah, when you don't have elephants in a headlock, I'm seeing pictures of you on the beach with the family, you know.
Absolutely. With the family is the key part of that sentence.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we don't have very much wildlife in the Bahamas, but I get those kids out on the boat. They've been holding a fishing rod, as Jim was saying with his, but they've been holding a fishing rod as long as they can walk, and they love it. And I think with kids, the most important thing is to stack the deck in their favor. I never take them out when it's going to be a marginal day or a tough day. When they go out, we slay them, so they love it. And I think that's crucial. A little kid's got the concentration span of a gnat. I mean, even people like us as adults have got the concentration span of possibly a mosquito, but a gnat's even smaller than that. But, you know, I mean, you've got to make sure they're catching fish. That way they're going to love it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey, your little gnat. Kate had a pretty exciting experience in the field with you recently, right? You guys had a good trip.
Did. So starting a new job in September is obviously not ideal for a hunting season. So our hunting season was quite abbreviated, but we did make a couple of trips out chasing whitetail. We had a very productive weekend, I guess early October, and she took a few deer. So it was a good experience. Our freezer is full of probably 98% game as well, primarily whitetail deer. We just finished off the caribou from the Arctic as well.
Hey, this corner of the camp house at DSC's Kinder Outdoors is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan, the world's greatest dog fuel, and the formula that's perfect for your dog is at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores. Atwoods? Well, you'll find them in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, Kansas, and Missouri. We're back on stage with the boys from the 2018 DSC Convention and Expo after I grab a cup of coffee.
Hi, I'm Ken Darcy with Remington. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
I'm Tom Watson with Bended Knee International, asking you to pray for the Navajo people of New Mexico and Arizona. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit these native people exceptionally hard. In many cases, multiple families live in the same home. Water is carried from muddy streams for household use, and medical care is many miles away. I simply ask that you join me in lifting them up to the Lord. To learn more, please visit bendedknee.org.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Toxie Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on, theharvestmovie.com. Whether you're new to firearms or an experienced, skilled shooter, the knowledgeable, friendly staff at Marksman Firearms and Outfitters is there to help. Marksman Firearms features an extensive selection of firearms, accessories, and specialty items. Military and first responders get a 10% discount, and they offer a 90-day layaway, same as cash. Buy, sell, or trade at any of their Texas stores, Granbury, Killeen, Mansfield, and Wichita Falls. For more info, visit MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. There's a place I love to go in the pristine Texas Hill Country that features first-class lodging, outstanding cuisine, world-class wing shooting, the best free-range access deer hunting in the world, my favorite, by the way, plus native whitetails and turkey, and some of the most comfortable hosts that you've ever enjoyed. Don't forget to throw in the fly rod. You'll want to experience the crystal clear waters of Joshua Creek and the Guadalupe River. Rolling hills and Texas live oaks, friendly smiles, and spring-fed waters. Orvis and Beretta agree that Joshua Creek is one of the finest hunting and shooting ranches in existence. And I think you will too. You won't find a prettier place to get married. And our staff and facilities will make your corporate event, family reunion, or private party turnkey and the best you'll ever experience. Joshua Creek Ranch in the historic Texas Hill Country between San Antonio and Fredericksburg. Want to go? Of course you do. JoshuaCreek.com.
The Dallas Safari Club and Kender Outdoors are made in the USA, built by freedom-loving, hard-working, constitution-defending hunters, fishers, and shooters. If that's you, come on in the camp house. If not, you made a wrong turn somewhere.
We attend the most critical conservation meetings, no matter where on earth they might be. Sometimes that's Switzerland, sometimes Africa, and sometimes the kitchen table with the future outdoorsman or woman. DSC, grassroots conservation, at work, home, and abroad. BigGame.org.
Hats off to my friends at Purina Pro Plan for bringing us this corner of the camp house at DSC's Kender Outdoors. Guys, if you're not supplying your hard-working bird dogs with 30% protein, 20% fat Pro Plan performance formula, boy, you really ought to be. Pick it up at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. We have a lot of fun on that main stage at DSC Convention and Expo, and we have special guests, unexpected guests, drop in.
This is Dan Roberts, ladies and gentlemen. Give him a big round of applause, please.
Thank you.
Dan Roberts, he's an avid hunter, big bow hunter, just killed a nice elk with his bow up in Oregon this year. Ivan, Ron, Larry, Jim. Dan, singer-songwriter, and he wrote a little tune some years back, and Garth Brooks took a liking to it and recorded it, and Dan's been smiling like that ever since. You mind playing a little bit of that?
Quarterly, I smile.
Quarterly, he smiles when he goes to the mailbox. He wrote this song. This will introduce you to Dan.
All right, thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Nice to be with you guys. I'm a fan, so. Nobody's going to sing backup harmony? Oh, okay. This song Garth cut that enabled my family and I to move to Texas, called The Beaches of Cheyenne. Well, he packed up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. By the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door, patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. He was up in Wyoming, drew a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out. Well, it turned out that he lied. And all the
dreams they'd been living in the California sand. They died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, cleaning, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water, see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. They never found her body, just a diary by her bed. Told about the fight they'd had and the words she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said, "Then I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne." They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
Hey, Dan Roberts,
thank you.
Huh? Singer-songwriter Dan Roberts, you've been hunting with Bo a lot of years, man. You killed a big old elk this year, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been hunting with a bow for a lot of years, and I've killed my first big elk.
Awesome. Do you know Friends in Low Places?
Sort of.
That's all we need is just 1 minute of it, because I want the Conservation Quartet singing with those microphones up. This is going to be a YouTube bomb, dudes. This is going to be huge. All right?
This is karaoke?
It's like the chorus or something?
We don't have the words.
Hey, that's just follow along, make something up, don't cuss. Got it?
Can I go?
Well, I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases your blues away.
Yeah, pretty good.
And I'll be okay. I'm not friends on social graces. Think I'll slip on down to the oasis. Oh, I got friends.
Almost getting into it.
Low places.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world famous Conservation Quartet.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good. And Ivan, you're the smartest one in the bunch.
No doubt.
Yes, thank Ron. Thanks. You're a good sport. Ron Spomer, folks. Watch your step, Ron.
I do it.
All right. Thank you. Jim, what's coming up in 2018 with you? What do we need to be watching for on Uncharted? Production value of your stuff, by the way, is over the top. Awesome.
Well, thank you. That's our son doing that.
Yeah.
We're Uncharted this year will be the same as it's been for 4 years, and that we're traveling all around the world, exploring these crazy places and discovering the cultures that and aspects about the cultures that I didn't know anything about, conservation in these places. 2019 Uncharted will be Uncharted Yukon. Because when we go to a place into the Himalayas in Pakistan, you have 1 hour. You can't tell the story. You just can't. And it's the same thing in the Yukon, which I love. You've heard me say many times it's my favorite place to hunt. So we're going to go to the Yukon and do a whole season of the Yukon. Just moose and giant caribou and grizzly bears and these crazy guys that all kind of look like him, only really actually walk the walk. And so it'll be an in-depth Uncharted Yukon for 2019.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was watching a couple of weeks ago, and you were in Mexico eating a rat. How'd that work out?
It was a rodent.
Oh,
There's a big difference between a rodent and a rat.
Yeah,
a rat is
really
a type of rodent.
It was good.
It was the best wild game I've ever had. It was
paca.
It's a paca. It's a little tiny spotted animal that's a little bigger than a guinea pig and smaller than a capybara. But awesome and difficult animal to hunt. Took me 3 hunts to finally get one.
You think he's putting us on, Larry?
Just a bad hunter.
bad hunter. He's down to rodents now.
Larry, these people that you're getting up, do they have to be talented like these people, or can they just, you just want somebody to play guitar? Because, I play guitar.
Bring your guitar next year.
Bring it on, son.
I don't have to bring one. I can borrow one.
Yeah.
What's so hard about that?
Come on. Can you really play?
What do you mean by really play?
Really play.
That's what I thought.
Depends on the definition. Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean that's what I thought? I was being humble there for a second.
For a second. We appreciate that.
Now I'm not going to play, no matter how much you ask me to.
Yeah, sulking now. Undoubtedly, you've all noticed how a lot of our NFL players are taking a knee during the national anthem. Dan and his son were sitting there one Sunday afternoon, and they were watching these guys take a knee during our national anthem. Have you guys up in Canada, A, noticed that that's happening down here, Jim? Have you seen that?
You know, things that irritate me, I just try to remove from my life.
You don't like the A?
No, the A I like. That should be part of the Queen's English.
Gotcha. No, you're not watching the NFL anymore is what you're saying at all. Yeah, I hear you.
When you visit the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Sporting Expo in downtown Dallas next January in person. I can't hardly wait. January 6th through the 9th. Make sure that you plan. We typically do it on Friday and again on Saturday. Make sure you plan to join us at the main stage there at DSC Convention and Expo. We'll have all of our friends up on stage with us. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together in this old camp house today, and invite you right back here next time around. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.